Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Happy Friday. It's Friday, November 8th, 2024. Great to be with you on EWTN and hope your week has been going well and your day is going well as well. We look forward to our guests this morning, including, of course, Doug Keck, President and Chief Operating Officer of the network. He gives us every week the inside word. We'll also get his reaction a little bit. I love Doug's insight and to hear what he has to say about the election, especially the election coverage of EWTN. I've gotten a lot of nice emails from folks who've been watching and also listening to our programs here, talking about the election and helping them sort through all of the decisions and the information and everything being thrown at us this time around. So Doug will join us at about 15 minutes past the hour. Then Fact Check Friday. If you recall, yesterday I was talking about how the media have this situation that they're facing right now where they don't want to look themselves in the mirror and have any type of self-reflection. Now, there are a few people, and I always like to give credit where credit is due, but there's not that many. There's maybe a handful. I'd say maybe what I've seen, just a handful of pundits or reporters that are saying, you know what, the left lost it. Their election, their campaign imploded, and they have to go back to square one and see what happened, including, believe it or not, a woman who worked on the Harris campaign and who also does work for the Democratic Party as a consultant. She's saying, we have to stop screaming at people, and we have to look at ourselves. What did we do wrong? So that was an interesting clip. We'll also hear a clip from Jake Tapper, who's talking about how the Democrats ignored inflation. But what's really frightening are the people who are just unhinged. And this is not just media pundits or celebrities or politicians. These are average people who have accounts on social media, including TikTok. I'm going to play one for you that's absolutely shocking. And I think what she said is criminal. I'm not an attorney, but this is pretty scary what she's claiming people should be thinking about doing involving President-elect Donald Trump. And then I want to share with you a story that my husband Dominic shared with me from the Wall Street Journal about what happened the night before the election in Michigan. Hopefully I can get through all this in Fact Check Friday, because they weren't even dealing with the facts of the reality. There was a rally for Tim Walz in downtown Detroit, and the campaign people tried to make it look that Hart Plaza, which can seat thousands, it's right on the river, Detroit River, they have concerts and events and celebrations there all the time. It's a popular gathering place downtown, especially in the nice weather. You can fit thousands in Hart Plaza. And they wanted to make it look like there were more people there. I'll explain that coming up, too. The bottom line is, I think right now we're a few days out from the election. It just happened on Tuesday. A lot of people are very unhappy. But at the same time, if you look at the numbers, there are a lot of people, as I said yesterday, that changed their mind and went in a completely different direction. And those who are in the business of talking to us and sharing information, at least from the legacy media, should respect that. And for the most part, they're not. And if you get into a discussion with folks about this, I would avoid it for a little bit because right now it's still such a hot button thing and it's so sensitive. But we need to remain calm and respectful always and be Christ-like. And the best way, I think, to have hopefully a fruitful conversation is to ask questions. There's all kinds of statements going on about what's going to happen under this new administration, which are all lies. All lies, not reality. And so you start by saying, okay, well, where are you getting this information? And what about this? Why are you thinking that? And you know that this law is in effect here and it's not going to happen what you're claiming. So we need to be aware, we need to be knowledgeable, but we need to be calm, respectful, and Christ-like in order to have a fruitful conversation. So we shall discuss that in Fact Check Friday, and also I'm sure with Doug Keck, and then wrapping up a busy Friday morning with Father Mark Mary Ames. Ascension Press, of course, had Catechism in a year, the Bible in a year. Now they have the Rosary in a year. How cool is that? We'll talk about that and wrap the show up on a Friday. There are some real storm problems in the Colorado area, so let's take a look at the National Weather Service. Heavy snow continues in the Southern Rockies. Widespread snow, actually, with periods of very heavy snowfall rates. and gusty winds will continue across New Mexico and eastern Colorado through this evening. They're saying snow may linger in some areas through tomorrow morning, and then there's elevated fire weather conditions expected from southern New England into the mid-Atlantic today, where red flag warnings are in effect. Right now, it is a Friday morning, 5 minutes past the hour. Thank you so much for tuning in to EW10. And don't forget, this newscast is brought to you by our friends at House of Joppa, the website, houseofjoppa.com. Here's the news for you. The Vatican Secretary of State, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, and other Holy See leaders sharing their well wishes for U.S. President-elect Donald Trump. As Linda Bordoni reports from the Vatican, the statements follow his resounding election victory earlier this week.
Of course, we wish Trump well, Cardinal Parolin said to a group of journalists as he arrived at the Pontifical Gregorian University for a conference on Thursday morning. At the beginning of his mandate, he added, "We wish him much wisdom, because that is the principal virtue of leaders, according to the Bible." The cardinal went on to say that the president-elect will have to work, above all, to be the president of the whole country in order to overcome the polarization that increasingly marks our age.
La polarizzazione che si è verificata, che si è avvertita in maniera molto, molto netta in questo tempo.
Asked about Trump's promises to bring an end to several ongoing wars, Cardinal Parolin replied, "Let us hope." And he acknowledged that no one has a magic wand, pointing out that ending war takes humility, willingness, and a desire to pursue the interests of humanity as a whole, rather than focusing on particular interests. Parolin went on to answer a range of questions, including questions regarding the defense of life and relations with China. He said he hopes Trump's promises to defend life will also broaden the consensus in this sense, and that the Holy See's relationship with China, that he said is essentially ecclesial, is moving forward in small steps.
Muslim and Arab American voters say they proved with their votes this week that they were serious about their concerns that the White House was not doing enough to end the war between Israel and Hamas. Their votes did result in Donald Trump winning in the city of Dearborn and Dearborn Heights over Vice President Kamala Harris. Trump had 42.48% of the vote in Dearborn. Harris had 36.26%. And the Green Party's Jill Stein had 18.37% support. And pro-life advocates are calling attention to the significance of the defeat of a 2024 Democratic presidential candidacy that was largely centered on abortion. As Catholic News Agency tells us, Susan B. Anthony, Pro-Life America President Marjorie Dannenfelser, saying in a post-election statement, "Americans have rejected the Democrats' no-limits abortion agenda." Susan B. Anthony, Pro-Life America President Marjorie Dannenfelser, again saying this after the election on Tuesday. In the run-up to this year's election, Vice President Harris amplified claims that women are dying from Republican abortion laws, though no state prohibits life-saving care for a pregnant woman. Harris vowed to restore Roe v. Wade-era standards and firmly rejected religious exemptions in federal abortion laws. Donald Trump and his Republican allies managing to ride a red wave of support from the Hispanic community to victory. Congresswoman Monica de la Cruz, who also won re-election, says that focusing on the economy was a winning message in her Texas border district.
We are talking about kitchen table issues, a strong border, and the cost of living.
That tracks with a pre-election poll done by the Pew Research Center, which found the main concern among Hispanic voters was indeed the economy, followed by health care and then violent crime. Exit polling showed that Trump received about 45% of the Latino vote. That's a more than 10% increase. A federal judge is striking down a Biden administration program that kept undocumented spouses of American citizens from being deported. The Biden administration started a policy back in August called Keeping Families Together. It allowed hundreds of thousands of undocumented spouses to work legally in the U.S. while they sought citizenship. On Thursday, a Trump-appointed federal judge in Texas striking down that program, saying Congress had not given the executive branch the authority to implement such a policy. Meanwhile, the Biden administration says it is preparing for a possible migrant surge at the border ahead of President-elect Trump returning to the White House. Homeland Security Advisor Alejandra Mayorkas and top advisors holding a virtual meeting with Customs and Border officials the day before the election to discuss what might happen if Trump did indeed win. One question that came up was if ICE detention centers have adequate bed space to hold migrants who are being deported. NBC News cites two U.S. officials who say the meeting was proactive, and Homeland Security has not seen a sudden rise so far in people heading to the border. Migrants in New York City will no longer receive food vouchers. A pilot program saw over $3 million worth of debit cards issued to more than 2,500 migrant families who were staying at city-funded hotels. City officials say the program is now coming to an end. And Mark Mayfield tells us, following the victory in the presidential election, Donald Trump is working to put together a transition team before Inauguration Day on January 20th.
He'll have to fill around 4,000 government positions, including 1,200 that require Senate approval. That should be easier with the Senate now under Republican control. His transition team is being led by friends and family, including his adult sons, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and former Democrat Tulsi Gabbard. The team's co-chairs are Cantor Fitzgerald CEO Howard Lutnick and former wrestling executive Linda McMahon.
President-elect Trump, meanwhile, has named Susie Wiles, a manager of his victorious campaign, as his White House chief of staff, the very first woman to ever hold this important and influential role. She is widely credited within and outside Trump's inner circle for running what was by far his most disciplined and well-executed campaign and was seen as a leading contender for the position. Senate Republicans will select their leader next week, their new leader. South Dakota's John Thune, Texas's John Cornyn, and Florida's Rick Scott, all vying for the party's leader in the upper chamber. They are looking to replace Kentucky's Mitch McConnell, who is stepping aside as the Republican leader. In other news this morning, Sarah Lee Kessler tells us plea deals for three September 11th defendants at Guantanamo Bay, including mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, are ruled valid.
Those deals would spare the trio the risk of death sentences in exchange for guilty pleas in the 9/11 al-Qaeda attacks that killed nearly 3,000 people in New York, Washington, and Pennsylvania. A military judge has voided Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's order nullifying the plea deal. There are multiple reports that he ruled Austin's timing was fatal because it came after Guantanamo's top official had already approved the deals following years of delays.
And Tammy Trujillo tells us the White House claims there are no plans for the president to pardon his son, Hunter Biden.
On Thursday, the White House press secretary was asked if Hunter would be pardoned or his sentence commuted in the wake of Donald Trump's victory. She told reporters that will not happen. Hunter Biden was found guilty of lying about using drugs while purchasing a gun 6 years ago. He's set to be sentenced on December 4th. He could face up to 25 years in prison.
NVIDIA is joining the Dow Jones Industrial Average effective today. The AI chipmaker will replace competitor Intel on the index shares of NVIDIA as they hit a record high yesterday, making it the first company ever to top a stock market value of $3.6 trillion. Brian Shook tells us, meanwhile, the Fed's lowering interest rates by a quarter point.
Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell addressed the move in a press conference Thursday.
We continue to be confident that with an appropriate recalibration of our policy stance, strength in the economy and the labor market can be maintained, with inflation moving sustainably down to 2%.
This follows a 50 basis points reduction earlier this fall, the first lowering of rates in 4 years. It comes on the heels of Donald Trump's election victory and positive news that inflation is cooling.
In other news this morning, with more Santa Ana winds expected in Southern California today, officials are telling homeowners to brace for high fire danger. Sam Giviana is the chief at the Verdugo Fire Academy in Glendale, California, and says homeowners must be aware of their property's combustibles.
Patio furniture, lawn chairs, trash cans, wood piles, even those leaves, needles, and twigs, those are all ignition points for these embers that are flying well over a mile away.
The mountain fire burning in Ventura County has destroyed at least a dozen homes after breaking out yesterday during a strong wind event. That wind carried embers over a large area, igniting homes miles away from each other. And that mountain fire in Ventura County, California, burning some 20,485 acres of land. It's 5% contained. His home, but says he's grateful he didn't also lose his life.
It's total devastation, unbelievable. We never thought it would cross the driveway. We were lucky to get out as quickly as we did. It came through so quickly.
Authorities confirming 132 structures have been lost, mostly in Camarillo, and six people so far have been hurt. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says entire departments at the Food and Drug Administration will have to go if he plays a role in the new Trump administration.
In some categories of workers, there are entire departments like the nutrition departments at FDA that have to go. That are not doing their job. They're not protecting our kids.
Asked yesterday if he would eliminate any health agencies, Kennedy said, as long as it requires congressional approval, I wouldn't be doing that. But he did say he will get the corruption out of the agencies. We have a story that shows that, you know what? As Brad Ford tells us, crime doesn't pay, at least for this contractor who is now admitted to stealing around $4 million from clients in Washington State. He's now headed to federal prison.
59-year-old Kirkland home remodeling contractor Joseph Bregevin would create false invoices that appeared to come from subcontractors to overbill clients. At his sentencing, they said Bregevin stole their life savings. For some, it was a year's salary. They said Bregevin showed no remorse. The judge ordered him to pay full restitution, and he was sentenced to 4 years in prison.
November 8th, it is just about 16 minutes past the hour now, just turned to 16 minutes past the hour. I hope you're having a great day. When we come back, checking in with Doug Keck, our president and chief operating officer of EWTN, taking a look at the inside word, what's coming up for programming in early November. We'll find out. Stay tuned.
Hello, Steve Ray here. Hard to believe it's already been 20 years of leading Catholic pilgrimages. So we're going to celebrate with a Danube River Cruise. We've chartered our own ship. We'll share meals and enjoy good Catholic fellowship together. We hope you can join us next June through Budapest, Vienna, Salzburg, Prague, and a whole lot more. But sign up quick. It's already more than half full.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the pilgrimage link. Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Catholic Connection is sponsored by House of Joppa. House of Joppa's mission is to share the beauty of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith in our homes through Catholic home decor, art, candles, statues, rosaries, and Catholic jewelry. They're gifts designed to help you live out your Catholic faith. For more information, go to houseofjoppa.com. That's houseofjoppa, J-O-P-P-A.com.
More of Catholic Connection coming up on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio.
Welcome back. It's a Friday morning. Every Friday we check in with Doug Keck, our President and Chief Operating Officer, also hosts wonderful programs on the network, including Bookmark and also Father Spitzer's Universe. So, Doug, first of all, congratulations on the great network coverage that you had in the election. I mean, it really was, as we say in the biz, gavel to gavel, and I know that that's a lot of hard work.
Right, absolutely. A shout out to obviously Monsi and the whole news team, and obviously as a lead up to that, you know, Raymond's coverage throughout the summer, getting the Trump interview, etc. You know, and obviously CNA and the Register covering those things, and I think also through Catholic Radio, through this program and other programs on EWTN, certainly Father Spitzer's Universe, we try to at least deal with, you know, some of the issues. Even our Holy Fraud brought up in the idea of dealing with, you know, the lesser of two evils. What did that mean? What were we looking at? And looking at the issues certainly related to the life issues, where, you know, regardless of being disappointed to some degree in the Republican position not being as much as we'd like it to be, was still, when you had to be honest, was dramatically better than what you were dealing with on the other side. And I think we've seen that. And again, what we've seen is that the issue of the economy and immigration, obviously, were the number one issues. And unfortunately, For us, pro-life is not the number one issue, and I guess we're lucky on the other side that unlike many Democratic candidates who believe that abortion was the only thing that women care about, found out that that wasn't true either.
Mm-hmm. I do think that with the way this turned out in the election, where the GOP has the Senate now, and it looks like the House is very close to doing the same thing, mm-hmm. there are many, many pro-life politicians in those positions now that I'm hoping that we can really work closely. They can work right. closely with the Trump administration and talk to them again about, okay, you know, when it comes to this life issue, let's sit down and talk about it, because he seemed to go really pretty much for abortion more than he had before. But at the same time, as you pointed out, we have to look at limiting evil. Okay, which party, which policy is going to be more responsible in the life issue? And he's putting it back right. to the states. And he is, obviously he supports IVF, which is bad news, but there's still going to be fewer babies killed at the end of the day mm-hmm. under a Trump administration. And in terms of religious freedom, that's another huge issue.
Absolutely. Now, I think that's the thing that we've covered, you've talked about, certainly Father Spitzer and I tried to talk about, is you just can't, you have to look at the life issue and move out from there into parental rights and religious liberty and the trans issues and those other issues. Those all roll out of that same thing. And on those issues, there's no question that the Republican position is much, much better from a life perspective on those things. And you don't have to worry about, I saw a pro, her choice had their dinner last night. One of the speakers talked about the fact that the people who are going to be in this administration are people who are open to pro-life discussions, open to talking about what can be done, what maybe can't be done. The other side, wouldn't be open at all. They dislike, if not hate, virtually the people who are in the pro-life movement. We see. Some of the lamentations from the news media. I mean, what are they saying? They're ultimately saying that either we're misogynists or we're bigots or we're racists or we're stupid or all of the above. So rather than admitting
uneducated,
that,
that's right. what one of the hosts on The View called women, the white right. women who voted for Trump. Right. They were uneducated.
Stupid. Right. Well, unfortunately, we're not all as brilliant as these elites are, apparently, and they believe it, too, which is just that if you just would listen to them, everything would be fine. Well, we know that the common sense of the common man is much better than most of the elites. The great line, I think it was, that Chesterton used to say, there are some ideas that are so ridiculous, only intellectuals believe them. And, you know, this is part of the thing that you're dealing with, these people living in utopian ideas which sound good in a college seminar, but don't work in real life, because there's something called original sin. And people mm-hmm. are not perfect, and they will be left to their own devices. They won't naturally do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. So what's coming up? Because we've got, gosh, there's so much going on in the month of November and Thanksgiving holiday all around the corner. What's
Absolutely.
Coming up next week or so?
Well, we've got, that big NAPA conference happened over the summer. Well, we've got this weekend, we've got all the talks, the major talks, Monsignor James Shea, all starting on Saturday morning. So tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Eastern time, running throughout into the evening and then also into Sunday. Talks by Monsignor Shea, Mary Hassan, Fran Mayer, Tim Gray, Carl Truman,
wow.
Father Roger Landry, and some bishop panels as well. So there's a whole plethora. If you weren't able to get to the conference, which most people can't, here's a great way for you to experience the wonderful information that was put forth there. We've also got tomorrow on Saturday, we've got St. John Bosco, Mission to Love. That's the Saturday night movie. You can check that out at 8 p.m. And bookmark, I'll just throw that in just because it fits into what's going on, Cultural Meltdown. Of course, Bill Donahue is on your show all the time.
Bill Donahue, great.
This was the interview I finally got around to doing on his Secular Roots of Our Moral Crisis, which, again, I think will help people understand better why maybe the election went the way it did. And always, we've got our Sunday Vespers with Benediction, in case people haven't caught up to the idea you can get the Friars every Sunday evening, 5 p.m. With Sunday Vespers and Benediction. Your good friends, your Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother Yay. Of the Eucharist, have a bunch of new programs, a new series starting on EWTN on Tuesday, having to do with cultivating the virtues, the theological virtues, what they're going to be focused on. And also we've got our program on Mother Cabrini, which will be airing mm-hmm. on Wednesday, and of course her feast day is that day as well. So check that out. And this one actually talks about her spirituality. The other one might have looked beautiful, but didn't really show her heart. This really focuses on who she is and why she did what she did. And what we know is with all the great saints and all the great religious, it's their love of the Eucharist and their love of Jesus that drove them to do the great works that they did.
And she used to always say, "The world is too small for what I want to do." And she made such a big difference. That's awesome. Wow, there's a lot coming up. So EWTN.com, of course, for all the information, St. John Bosco, bookmark with Bill Donahue, and so much more. I wanted I don't know if you saw the story, then we're going to run out of time, but you see the story of how some of the media want to shut down now X because it has expressed stories that disagree with what they're saying. This is why what we do is so important. And under a different administration, that could have all changed.
Absolutely, and the thing we have to always realize when it comes to the people who are liars like these things, what they accuse you of is what they do.
Bingo. Projection. Doug, thanks so much again for all your great work with the team, and God willing, talk to you next Friday. Doug Keck, of course, our President and Chief Operating Officer. Fact Check Friday up next. Stay tuned.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you're on a football team, you don't want to just run up and down the field holding the ball and never cross into the end zone and get a touchdown. We want to reach our goal, but there are a lot of obstacles, discouragement, and challenges along the way. Jesus' voice is the one calling us to say yes to him, to live the life that he is calling us to live. We have to choose one way or the other, choose him or not. But if we choose him, we will be opposed. We're going to have people challenge what we believe or call us crazy. But Jesus doesn't just say, "Come follow me," to follow a beatitude. He's calling us to be like himself. He is the Beatitudes. He doesn't just say, "Do what I say." He says, "Come follow me." He's with us every step of the way, transforming our weakness into strength. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
Whom do we most need in order to say Jesus is Lord? The Holy Spirit. The Catechism says that every time we invoke Jesus, it is the Holy Spirit who draws us onto the path of prayer. And since it is the Holy Spirit who teaches us to pray by recalling Jesus, how can we not pray to the Holy Spirit too? The Church urges us to call on the Holy Spirit continually, especially at the beginning and the close of every important action. And how should we pray to him? The traditional form is to invoke the Father through Christ our Lord to give us the Consoler, the Spirit. The simplest, most direct invocation is, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful, enkindle in them the fire of your love." The Holy Spirit is the artisan of the living tradition of prayer and the master of interior prayer. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Almost the bottom of the hour on a Friday, November 8, 2024. What a week. My goodness, so much information, so many things being thrown at us. But we know the results of the election, at least for the most part, with the office of the president. Donald Trump is now president-elect, winning the electoral votes and also the popular vote, as well as the GOP taking back the Senate and still waiting on the House right now. And the GOP was leading in terms of the amount of House of Representatives that were elected or reelected, and the Democrats were trailing by quite a bit. So we'll see. We don't know yet. We'll see what happens. I wanted to talk to you about a couple of things as we wrap up our coverage this week of the 2024 presidential election. First, I want to take a look at how the left continues to just go completely, well, they're just unhinged. And it's very frightening because, in addition to, it's one thing to express your disappointment and even maybe your anger or frustration at what happened. We've all been through disappointments like this with elections and worried about what it could bring for the issues in which we believe. But it's another thing to threaten people with death. This is a woman, I don't know who she is, and my friend Vanessa Denhagarmo from Ave Maria Radio sent this to me. This is a woman who seriously, on TikTok, is talking about basically committing what amounts to a federal offense. Take a listen.
Quick question. So does anybody know how to find or hire a hitman? or woman, because we don't want to be sexist. So, but I think we could pull this off collectively. If you want to chip in, DM.
So she's talking about hiring a hitman to end the life of the president-elect. And they call conservatives extremists and people who want to do damage and do all kinds of horrible things. Where are the media on this? Why aren't they calling this young woman out? And why aren't they saying, everybody take a breath and calm down? But they're not. They continue to engage in all kinds of awful rhetoric, yelling at the Americans. Joyce Behar of The View saying, oh, come on, America. Joyce Reid insulting and screaming at people and saying that people who voted for anyone but Kamala Harris, they deserve what they get. Just screaming at people. Gee, that's a way to win friends and influence people, as they say. But we always like to give credit where credit is due. There are a few people out there who are responding, I would say, sanely and looking at the reality of the situation, which is what anybody should do, especially in terms of an election, if you lose so badly. I mean, this was historic. This was off the charts historic in terms of the numbers, the popular vote, the electoral vote, the Senate, all the blue, the states in the blue wall going red, Michigan, my home state, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. This was a big deal. And it said an awful lot about the left and what they were trying to put on us and get us to accept and get us to not look at reality. Don't look at the bill. Don't look at your grocery bill. Don't look at the gas bill. Just look over here. Everything's wonderful. Everything's fine. What you're seeing is misinformation. It's not real. Thanks be to God, there are, again, some people who are talking sense and saying that they need to look at the issues and what went wrong. I'm glad to see they're willing to enter into discussion. Not that I agree with that party, but I'm just saying at least there are some people, and again, we like to give credit where credit is due. This young woman is actually advisor to the vice president and also with the Democratic Party. She was interviewed on Fox News, and she's saying that this meltdown, it's so off base, and it's so just plain wrong. Take a listen.
We are in the midst of a meltdown, and if the party is just going to vilify anyone who has the courage to stand up and say what needs to change, we are going to keep losing. If we don't recognize that America has finally shifted to the right, that we're undergoing a rightward shift, we're going to keep losing. We cannot keep indulging the fringe of the party at the expense of the American people. Given the extent of the loss, it was, as I said earlier, it was a red wedding style defeat. It was a catastrophe. This wasn't a squeaker. It wasn't a margin. It wasn't a margin of error race. She resoundingly lost. And we really have to be introspective and realize that we cannot just call Americans racist and bigots and say that that is the reason why Kamala Harris lost. There are other reasons that we can go into, but you can't just vilify the entire country. It doesn't work like that. And so that's not conducive to a productive conversation. And you're going to keep losing if you alienate the voters. Well, I'm going to say one thing, and I think I might, it's kind of verboten in my party. There are a lot of things you can't say as a Democrat, right? You're going to get canceled. But I just want to say I'm a naturalized American. I'm very proud and thankful to be in this country. Mm-hmm. Being American is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And I don't want millions of people pouring through our country through the southern border, willy-nilly. My family and I came the right way. We came from England, we filed an application, and we waited. And we brought valuable skills. My family has created hundreds of jobs, American jobs. So it's not fair for people to just jump the line because they want to. We need an orderly process. And unfortunately, the Democratic Party, we are, right now, it's almost... people will condemn you if you do not support very lax immigration policies.
Wow. Common sense from the left. A person who advised Kamala Harris and also the Democratic Party, but apparently they weren't listening, at least all not that closely. And then we have Jake Tapper from CNN who's saying they missed the boat when it comes to an issue that was so important to the average American out there.
You heard me ask Congressman Garcia for his assessment of why Democrats was, you know, I just have to say, I've been doing this job now for many, many years, many, many decades. And I have to say, it's always a comms issue, right? It's never the record. It's always, they're just not communicating what they did effectively enough. The truth of the matter is that there was horrific inflation and people had trouble buying groceries. And like for most Americans, a $400 problem is a big problem.
So there you have it. Some common sense on the left, although it's not all that common in terms of those speaking out. But again, as I always like to say, I do like to give credit where credit is due, where there are some people are saying, okay, let's take a breath, everybody calm down, and let's talk about this. Those are two commentators, one a Democratic advisor and another, of course, an anchor person and host on CNN, who are saying we really have to look in the mirror. A big problem here as we wrap up on a Friday morning of Fact Check Friday is, as Jake Tapper and the Democratic advisor both said, that many on the other side of these issues did not want to look at reality, did not want to look at facts, and they kept trying to tell us that everything is fine and wonderful, including all the way up to the election, election eve in my hometown area, southeastern Michigan. Tim Walz was in downtown Detroit to have a rally, and the people behind the campaign noticed that there weren't that many people there. They were in Hart Plaza, which is a place where lots of people gather for various events and festivals. They could fit, you know, several thousand people in this area in downtown Detroit. And there weren't enough people there. So the campaign advisors told the group that was gathered to all sit together in the bleachers so the crowd would look bigger than it actually was. And this was their problem. They kept putting forth illusions, a mirage, whether it be about the economy, whether it be about how many people supported them, whether it be about the situation with Joe Biden, who was fine and running circles around everybody, when it was obvious that he was having some very, very serious cognitive issues for a long, long time. And they thought they could get away with it with the Harris campaign. We've got the media in our back corner. Just don't put her out there too often. Make her look wonderful, and everything will be fine. Well, the American people are smarter than that. The American people are smart enough to know that something is rotten in Denmark and something needed to change. Hopefully the media will wake up and be more balanced, but with the exception of a few, I don't know about you, but I'm not holding my breath. We'll be right back.
The Heart of the Interior Life with Elizabeth Jingle.
Why does God permit the experience of spiritual desolation? In the ninth rule of St. Ignatius of Loyola's 14 Rules for the Discernment of Spirits, St. Ignatius teaches the three principal causes for why we experience spiritual desolation. The second reason, as St. Ignatius teaches, is to try us and see how much we are and how much we extend ourselves in his service and praise without so much payment of consolations and increased graces. The second cause is a trial, which invites the heart of the disciple to persevere in the trial of spiritual desolation, despite the lack of spiritual consolation and increased graces. Father Timothy Gallagher writes, "Through this trial, something is seen. Through it, a clear sense of our spiritual identity, how much we are, and of how perseveringly we will serve in the time of trial, how much we will extend ourselves, emerges."
For more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
We just did our parish mission a couple weeks ago now, and I suggested that in the course of the mission that we do something like a little mini spiritual assessment of our lives. I don't have to show this to anybody, but a great chance for us just to, with real honesty, just between us and Jesus, ask ourselves some questions. First question, given the fact that half of Catholics don't think God is even personal, would be to ask ourselves that. Do I think God is personal? And then to ask myself, do I think a relationship with Jesus is possible? Do I have a relationship with Jesus? And if so, what's it look like? And then perhaps a little bit more awkwardly or painfully, to ask Jesus, from his perspective, what's the friendship that we have with him look like? How would he describe our friendship with him? That might be a hard conversation to have.
Well, this is so cool. We love the rosary. We love our Mama Mary and the beautiful prayers. Well, Ascension, our friends at Ascension Press, have announced the Rosary in a Year podcast for 2025. Father Mike Mary Ames with CFR will guide us through a transformative year of prayer with this new podcast. Of course, we've had Bible in a Year, the Catechism in a Year, and now we have the Rosary in a Year. Father, great to catch up with you. Thanks so much. So tell us about this podcast and when it begins officially.
All right, so it's called Rosary in the Year, and I bet your audience is quite familiar with its predecessors, right? The Bible in the Year and then the Catechism in the Year with Father Mike. And so the Rosary in the Year, I think it's the next kind of organic step. And to put it simply, it's a school and a practice in praying with the truth of our faith. You know, in the other In a Year series, there's been a great explanation of the Word of God and the positive of our faith. And so now we're going to really kind of go into this ongoing school of prayer, which we have it in the Rosary. And so it begins in full, you know, January 1st. It will be like an In a Year, so it's going to run all of 2025, but we're starting to release some kind of preliminary episodes.
In terms of the idea behind it, obviously it's great to have this, especially we're starting the Jubilee year, the Year of Hope, and encouraging folks. But is this because you, Ascension wants to focus more on this beautiful prayer, the Rosary, which of course Saint Padre Pio called his weapon?
You know, I think it's certainly the Rosary, and I think the Rosary is a great starting point and a great connection to so many Catholics because it's so common. And you know, there's for centuries, and there's this actually like we can talk about like a new springtime of the Rosary. We really love Our Lady, we love the Rosary. And so this is something that we're so familiar with. But even more importantly, it is, you know, this invitation to go deeper in our prayer lives. And, kind of, you know, Our Lady, as she's come again and again and again, it's like she's invited us to prayer, particularly the Rosary. And so I think that the Rosary is a great, if you will, step towards just really deepening our lives of prayer in general.
Yeah, I think it's really helpful, though, to have something like this to pray along with it. We're talking with Father Mark Mary Ames. We're talking about this beautiful effort by Ascension Press, and this is all about the Rosary. The Rosary in a Year, as he mentioned, we're familiar with Father Mike Schmitz and the Bible in a Year and the Catechism in a Year, which took off like crazy, I mean, beyond any expectations. Father, let's talk about the Rosary, though, what it is, what it isn't, because I think there still may be some confusion, not just among non-Catholics, but about Catholics and what the Rosary is and what it represents.
Sure, of course. You know, the Rosary in our categories, it's a devotional. But really, it's not just kind of one of many devotionals. It is kind of like, if you will, the leading devotional. And it's a form of prayer. It's a type of prayer in which we kind of go through. And so, you know, the structure of course, is praying, you know, the five decades generally with the Our Father, the Ten Hail Marys, the Glory Be, etc., which are our prayers, these foundational prayers, praying with the words that Jesus himself gave us. And then with them, right, is these meditations on the different mysteries of our salvation. And so, you know, the Rosary is an opportunity to kind of slowly, continually, like, receive, if you will, like, the great gift that the Lord has given us in the mysteries of our salvation, and pondering them again and again and again with Our Lady, knowing that the mysteries of our faith are so rich, we can receive them anew, ever deeper, day after day.
So in terms of when it begins on January 1st, what will it look like and sound like? I mean, obviously, you're going to be the main feature on this, but in terms of, obviously, outside of the Rosary and the prayer and Our Lady, but how will you kind of formulate this, Father?
Great, Teresa. And of course, as people hear this, kind of the first question is, like, Rosary in a Year, you know, it usually takes me 15 minutes. Like, so something like that. And so there's going to be, it's like six different phases. And I do see it as a bit of a school in prayer and actually like mm-hmm. a practicum in prayer. And so the first phase is going to be quite foundational. Like, what is the Rosary? What are we supposed to be doing? Looking at the relationship in the Rosary and really just focusing on maybe even that first muscle of what we can call, like, traditionally practicing the presence of God. How do we actually come into contact, like, with the living God when we're praying? And what does that look like? And then we'll structure a little bit of the Rosary, its value, et cetera. And then the next phase is just looking at the different prayers of the Rosary itself. So we'll have, for example, you know, five days on the Our Father and what's happening there. We'll have a day on the Glory Be, on the Sign of the Cross. And I think this is part of the great, for me at least, the genius of it, is there's these prayers that we've been saying day after day after day. But even myself, who's a priest, who's been religious for 15 years, it's like, okay, when saying the Glory Be, what does it mean? What is happening? What am I doing here? And so it's really just revisiting some of these foundational prayers. And then the main bulk of it is really going to be an ongoing deepening study and then reflection and prayer with the different mysteries, particularly as we find them in Scripture. And so we're going to have like a passive, like the literal sense, like what's going to happen? What's happening here? Like when Jesus is presented in the temple, like why is this happening? What does it mean? And then we'll have like a little bit of a reflection on it, kind of a mini homily. We'll pray with it. And then the next phase is we're gonna bring in a variety of writings on saints on these mysteries. And then we'll go ahead and bring in a couple of pieces of sacred art. And then slowly we'll transition to practicing, actually like applying and praying with these different mysteries and applying kind of what we have studied and reflected on in our actual prayer. And we're going to build that a little bit slowly. My own experience of praying the rosary starting as a young man is sometimes I was just trying to do so much at once. It's kind of right. Hard to take it all in. And so there's going to be an opportunity, an invitation to a little bit of like a slow build so that we can really just sit with kind of in a lingering way, you know, each of the different mysteries and really kind of receive the graces each one offers. And we'll just kind of, for the back half of it, we're going to kind of build that muscle.
That's awesome. We're talking with A Familiar Face of Ascension Presents, Father Mark Mary Ames, who will be guiding Catholics through a transformative year of prayer. So this new podcast, getting to start on January 1st, The Rosary in a Year with Father Mark Mary Ames. And again, the website is ascensionpress.com/rosary-in-a-year. What I really like about it is that you're incorporating so many different aspects of prayer. You have Lectio Divina, Visio Divina, Reflections from the Saints. So there's an awful lot that people can learn about if they're not familiar with these different prayer efforts or prayer guides as well. How long, Father, when they sign on each day, how long will it be?
You know, each day is going to be about, like, probably around 12 minutes. 12 to 15, so it's almost the amount of time that most people would take to pray the rosary. We're going to kind of dedicate that each day, although as part of the rosary year, each day isn't going to be praying the full rosary. We'll kind of get into that again towards the second part of the year.
Mm-hmm. And who came up with the idea to do this in terms of going from Bible to a year, catechism to a year, rosary to a year, in the year?
You know, it was kind of a team effort. I had done a video for Ascension over 3 years ago called Rosary in a Year. And it wasn't intended to become, you know, a podcast, but it was a reflection on my own journey, again, praying with the rosary, and how I really, as a young man, knew it was so important. I kind of tried to do too much too fast, so I never really prayed it well, and it became kind of a task and a burden, and it was part of it. It's just I was told to do it, but wasn't really told how to do it, and so I kind of created this plan for how to kind of be introduced to it, and then slowly kind of build the muscle of prayer. And then, yeah, earlier this year, Ascension came across that, and they kind of reached out to me and proposed the idea. And I felt in my own life, like a personal stirring to just grow deeper in this. So I actually said yes to it, maybe not knowing the scope of it, but as an invitation from the Lord to really grow deeper in my own devotion to Our Lady and the Rosary.
Do you think there's a revival of the Rosary, Father?
100%. Yeah, 100%. You know, if you're in any Catholic church, you're making a Eucharistic Holy Hour, working with missionaries, you know, if they're going to be in the church for an extended period of time, waiting confession, you just see people constantly pulling out the rosaries. And so I really think there's a grace to it, and there's a grace that will be there for us as individuals, but I really think under it all is an invitation from the Lord, and just as encouragement to return to the rosary as a source of grace for the whole world.
I always think it's beautiful to have a Bible with you when you're praying the rosary, because the entire rosary is scriptural with the mysteries. And I think if you look up a chapter, if they're talking about the scourging, if you're talking about the, you know, the presentation, the visitation, and then you look that up in scripture, and then it really can help you have even a deeper, I think, Lectio Divina.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know this isn't exactly true, but I think praying the rosary in a way that's like most efficacious, like most fruitful, it kind of presupposes also spending time in prayer with the scriptures. You know, like how are we going to reflect upon, you know, the visitation, the transfiguration, if we don't just spend time actually sitting before and receiving like the grace in the scriptures themselves. And so 100%, this is a prayer which flows from and then like returns to the Word of God and scripture.
Being that I know you work closely with the seminary and you're part of the country on the east part of the of our coastline there, in terms of really encouraging seminarians to pray the rosary, that kind of went by the wayside, unfortunately, back in the 60s and the 70s. Are you seeing, again, not just a revival in the rosary among Catholics, lay Catholics, but what about among religious?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, in the seminary, certainly as religious, like Dominicans, the Franciscans, you know, it's kind of an obligatory part of our life, a normative part of our life. I know, you know, Dominicans are going to pray it every day together, and we would kind of ordinarily pray it together in the evening. But I bet, I'm here at St. Joseph's Seminary in New York, I bet you'd be hard-pressed to find a seminarian who doesn't have a rosary in his pocket all the time. I certainly think this is an area in which there's been tremendous growth, but also there's, I think, even this room for a greater enrichment of it, insofar as like, there's just it's just so deep, and we're told to pray it, we start to pray it, but there's a lot of space here for ongoing formation in how to pray the rosary and praying it well.
Do you have a favorite mystery of the rosary, Father? Do you have a favorite one?
Oh, I do. I mean, the mysteries with Our Lady are particularly sweet. I think the Annunciation, the Visitation, the Nativity is hard to beat. But of course, the Resurrection and the meaning of the Resurrection and receiving the grace of the Resurrection and living in the hope of the Resurrection is a particular point of reflection and meditation for me these days.
Yeah, I love to explain the rosary to people, especially those who aren't Catholic and think that we're worshiping Mary. And I don't do it in a mean kind of way. I love to because I'm excited about it. I said, look, we're praying the scriptures. This is what we're doing. We're praying the life of Christ. Everything in the rosary, including the Our Father and the Hail Mary, are right from the Bible. So it's nothing that's not scriptural, but it also is just a beautiful walk through the Lord's life.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and putting it together, it feels like I've been doing a Bible study. Like it's just, I constantly have the Word of God before me. We begin each episode with a reading from the Word of God. And, you know, I think, you know, for those who have hesitations, particularly our non-Catholic Christian brethren, is my invitation really is like, come and see, you know, like just come and see. And what you, I think you might be surprised by how consistent it is with Scripture and with Jesus being the Lord, etc.
All right, so people can sign up for this now, though, correct, Father? Can they sign up for it yet?
Yeah, absolutely. They can sign up, you know, wherever they listen to podcasts. And I think for the kind of the most, getting the most information at once, you can go to, you know, Ascension's website, ascensionpress.com/rosaryyear, and they have a great like prayer plan, which will allow you to kind of just check it out and kind of see for yourself the journey that we'll be making with the Rosary Year podcast.
Well, thanks for all these great resources. I mean, we know the success of Bible in a Year, Catechism in a Year. I really hope, for the sake of Mama Mary, to show how much we love her, that this takes off as well. Father, appreciate your talents and lending yourself to this beautiful project. Of course, as we mentioned, Father Mark Mary Ames, a familiar face from Ascension Presents, guiding us through a transformative year of prayer. And next year, of course, is the Year of Hope, the Jubilee Year, so this is perfect timing. Check out this podcast, ascensionpress.com/rosaryinayear. Again, ascensionpress.com/rosaryinayear. And it's a Rosary in a Year podcast with Father Mark Mary Ames. Father, thank you so much.
Teresa, you're great. Thanks so much.
God bless you, and thanks for doing this. And we will be right back to wrap up a Friday morning edition of Catholic Connection right here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And remember that in addition, of course, to the interviews, you can also find the links to those with whom we spoke. For example, we'll have the link to the ascensionpress.com website there for you, Rosary in a Year, in case you forgot. So you can always go to our archive section, just look at Catholic Connection, and it'll be there. And if you want to share this interview with someone, that'll be there too. We'll be right back on a Friday. Thanks for tuning in.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. at mycatholicwill.com. It takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. mycatholicwill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. mycatholicwill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The devil will always do his best to tempt you into sin until you get to that place where you love sin. That's what he wants. He wants you down there with him. And not because he loves you, he hates you. When you do what the enemy tempts you to do, he does it out of pure hatred.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Catholic Connection is sponsored by House of Joppa. House of Joppa's mission is to share the beauty of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith in our homes through Catholic home decor, art, candles, statues, rosaries, and Catholic jewelry. They're gifts designed to help you live out your Catholic faith. For more information, go to houseofjoppa.com. That's houseofjoppa, J-O-P-P-A.com.
More of Catholic Connection coming up on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio.
Praying for the people out in Colorado, the Rockies area, really bad snowstorm hitting. So be careful if you're in that neck of the woods, and be very careful because the snow is going to continue all the way through tomorrow. Coming up on Monday, we're going to be taking a look at the Catholic vote with a representative from Catholic Vote. And how did the Catholics do while they switched and really voted differently this time around? We'll tell you all about it. Plus, of course, our scripture verse of the week with Gail Buckley. Have a blessed weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.